You are listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 10, I see Sister Elizabeth. She says, good evening, AK. I mean, I'm surprised. I would like to know the reason why women are not allowed to cut their hair. I mean, apparently I heard it's a sin in Islam for the ladies to cut their hair. Can't you do that for your husband? Sister Elizabeth, to start.
MashaAllah, thank you very much, my sister Alicia. Elizabeth, remember that. We appreciate your question. I pose three questions to you. Today, if you look at the lady from the back, then and you see how they cut their hair, you can't even know whether it's Eve or Steve. So Islam says all parties, male, female, must maintain their own identity. Sister Elizabeth, story time. This is under apartheid. So I'm from Heidelberg, yeah, in Transvaal, Gauteng. I'm from there. So I was in Newcastle 20 years, now we're 20 years here. All Allah's help, Allah's mercy, and Allah accept it. So I used to come to visit my parents, my family. So one day two people in Heidelberg, they told me that one school, a white school, is a boys' school. They saw some video on Hajj or what, they got too many questions. And nobody wants to go. I said, no, come here, make the appointment, I'll go, no problem. So they made the appointment, everything, under apartheid, we went there. So lucky they had beards also. So when we went there, I explained to them about Hajj, pilgrimage, everything. Then I opened the floor. I said, Prat, and Angles, Afrikaans, whatever language you want to speak, we'll speak. No problem. So you can speak in English, Afrikaans, all that fine. So the one youngster asked, Hukom is Jela Almal Bartman, Afrikaans. Why all of you keep beard? So I told him, I give you three answers. I say, you went to the Kruger Park, Kruger National Park. Did you see the lion there? The lion got the big mane, you see. So now when the man, he removes that mane, that beard of his, so now he imitates the woman. So then I gave the second story. I said, you see, they were a newly wedded couple. And now the baby wanted milk. So he came right by the father's chest like. He says, Khanuk, ik verstaan no mooi. So he's enough, I got the answer already. You even confuse the children. So mother Elizabeth, sister Elizabeth, Islam wants the women, they must keep long hair, no cutting hair and so. And the men, you must remember, they must keep beards and so forth, no shaving and all these things here. Next one, why must the Muslim woman imitate the non-Muslim culture? When my sister, whoever, she cuts her hair, my daughter, she cuts her hair and so forth, what she's doing? She's suffering from the inferiority complex that the West is the best, then white is right. Therefore, I have to imitate that beauty queen. I have to imitate that film star or actress or whatever you. So you want to say, our Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, our Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, our honorable ladies are not good examples, Allah forbid, and these other ladies. So we don't imitate people. We influence the lives of people. So that is the second answer. And third answer, that in Islam, the hadith in Musnad Firdaus, they let me remember, the angels, my sister Elizabeth, they make dua, they pray. What do they say? They say, Ya Allah, these men who have liha, they have beards and so forth, give them jannat and paradise. One nisa bi zawaib, and the ladies who have long plaits and hair, so give them paradise and so forth. So why must we deprive ourselves of all these things here? So the Western culture is a decadent culture. We are not allowed, whether it's Western or Eastern, but normally our people today, and then they will use the excuse, no, the husband wants it like that. So that is an excuse. That also, Islam says, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to any creation, whether it's parents, teacher, whoever, or husband, when it leads to a sin against the creator. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
I see we got Brother Seelan, Ustad, S-E-E-L-E-N. He says, Dear AK, I have a Muslim colleague at work who told me that men get more shares than women regarding inheritance. I mean, this doesn't seem fair. Why? Seelan, Ustad, Brother Seelan.
Thank you, my brother Seelan. That's why I love this program. We open the floor and you ask your questions. We got no problem. We got nothing. Now, Seelan, When you study Islam, you have to take holistically. So I'm giving you example. I have one son and I have one daughter. I don't have a son, daughter. I'm just giving an example. So my son, I have to worry about him and give him education, expenses, everything. Islamically, till he's 16, 17, finish. After that, whatever. I went overseas when I was 17. My father just did me a favor. Our mother tongue vernacular is Memon. The Memon organizations and this one, they all offered. My father said no. And alhamdulillah, I really admired my father for that. Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus. He said, we don't want nothing. I'll afford it. I'll send my son and so forth. So he just did me a favor. So we can never forget that. So he just, and for 7 years, he paid for all my studies, everything, up and down, running overseas from there and everything. So he was just, he got me married, everything, bought me my first car, everything. He just did me a favor. So a daughter in Islam, from the day she's born till the day she gets married, the expenses is on the father. She don't have to spend 1 cent, remember that, on herself for her eating, drinking, education. The father is responsible. The day she gets married till her death, you must remember, the husband is responsible. Her roti, kapra, makan, her shelter, food, clothing, everything. So my brother Seelan, when you look at the female from the womb to the tomb, she's receiving, receiving, receiving. From the cradle to the grave, she's receiving, receiving. Now look at that son of mine. From the age of 17, he has to start working. He has to start standing on his own feet. When he's 20, 22, he has to get married, for example. Then he has to support his wife. He has to support his children. He has to support everybody. And all the expenses are on him. So Islam says that when my father passed away, we are 3 sons and 2 daughters, so the sons will get the ratio 2 to 1. Why? Not because of the reason you are suggesting and thinking, my brother Seelan, that Islam is chauvinistic. No, but because Islam structure that the man is the breadwinner and the woman will be the minister of interior. Her expenses are much less compared to the man, and therefore the man inherit more. And if you want to turn the whole argument, this is academic a little bit, in Quran, you know, the Arabs and so forth, they would not allow previously before Islam that no woman, no child would inherit. Islam brought a whole new system of inheritance. Open the Quran, chapter number 4, verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So chapter 4, and you will find the shares of the heirs. You call the Quranic heirs. So when you break down the Quranic heirs, my brother Seelan, then they are 12. It's one of my favorite topics, this. I taught 15 years there. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So anyway, you must remember this Quranic heirs. So there are 12 different categories. From the 12, my brother Seelan, 8 are females and 4 are males. So who's double and who's single? I hope you understood that argument. So that is how you study Islam, my brother Seelan.
Ustad, a youngster needs your help, assist urgently. He says here, anonymous, dear respected Mufti Sahab, during the initial lockdown, I had a samosa run down on Zoom. In front of both our parents, we saw one another. We liked each other. She is from overseas. Now she came here to South Africa, and when we went to finalize the nikah date, Mufti Sahab, she was not the girl I saw on Zoom that day. I was catfished. The girl I saw was fair, like Snow White. Now I see dark and dusky. I am stuck. Please help urgently, Mufti Sahab.
So finish now what you are there. That they showed you the wrong fish. They showed you the wrong fish. You must remember. That's why I told you. The Zoom and all that is not permissible. They can impersonate you. And they put so much lipstick and so much dust that the dark lady will look so fair and all these things. Now when you saw real life, you saw something else without contact lenses also you could see. So you just call it off. End of the story. What you want to do now? So there are many fish in the ocean. So therefore I told you youngsters, that always read the dua. Just now the youngster from university wants to get married to his teacher, Ustad's daughter. What did I say? Read Surah chapter 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, and say, Ya Allah, if there's khair and goodness in it, just say, you know what, you all are deceived with me. Finish. Nabi alayhi salam said, Man ghashana falaysa minna, who deceives us is not of us. You go your way, I go my way. Finished. You just cut it off. That's what. Don't make long stories.
Ustad Mauritius, do you use tablets for falling pregnant? Is it permissible, Ustad?
So you must remember that don't use tablets. All these things, normally they have some side effect and what have you. Read the following 3-4 dua supplications I'll mention now. Chapter number 3, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. The dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bless me with pious offspring, pure, chaste children. Chapter 3, verse 38. Chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. The dua of Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bless me with pious offspring. Chapter 21, verse 89. The dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. He's crying, begging, petitioning Allah. Rabbi la tadharni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Oh, beloved Allah, don't leave me alone. Grant me heirs. Not for money. The mission and the message must continue. Almighty Allah blessed him with Yahya alayhi salam, whom you call John the Baptist. And then istighfar. Oh, Ummah, tomorrow you are fasting in Makkah, Medina, many other countries. When you wake up for suhoor and sehri, then take out 3, 4, 5 minutes. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa atubu ilay, wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. The pious people, they make istighfar at suhoor time. Wednesday, you will be awake in South Africa for sehri. This is our first fast. So make sure you have your timetable, O Muslim. And in that way, you read tahajjud, you make dua, you could lift your hands, you go into sajda. When you make istighfar, yumdidukum bi amwali wa banin. Allah will increase your wealth, Allah will bless you with children. I am asking you, what you think, these tablets are better or this is better? 100% Allah's kalam is better. You must have firm conviction and Allah will bless you with pious children.
I see a concerned mother says, Dear Mufti Sahab, how can a station call itself Islamic without ulama guidance regarding its policies or its content? There is so much of intermingling and marriages are being broken. Ustad, a concerned mother.
So you must go contact them. What can we do? You must remember, we're not sitting here with a stick for everybody. So you must remember, I don't know who you're really talking about. So you must contact everyone, got directors, everyone got some responsible. Tell them that there's A, B, C. As far as we go, our Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, I always tell you, if we have anything wrong, please bring it to our attention. We are not angels. We are also going to make wrong. We are also going to slip up here and there. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Rahim Allahum Ra'an. Allah's mercy on the person who shows me where I went wrong and so forth. So that is the attitude in Islam. If somebody is doing it ad-deenu an-nasiha, sincerely they're giving us advice, then the hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim. We must be happy with that. Remember, not to accept that, that is pride and arrogance. Today our people don't even understand what is pride and arrogance. I got a smart house, a smart car, smart shop, smart factory, does that, they say pride. No. Pride is batarul haq. When the truth comes, then you're not prepared to accept it, you're not prepared to apologize. Wa ghamtu nas, and the people telling you apologize, you say, who's he? He's a nincompoop. You understand? He's a small lightiki in front of us. We are the big shots. So that is the pride and arrogance. And such people then will end up Hizbu Shaitan, in the party of Shaitan.
Santan Ustad says, can an Islamic school or Muslim group charge entry fees for a program, Ustad? Ladies only, Ustad. Play in nizams to collect funds, Ustad.
Totally haram, all these things. You must remember, today Islam is used just for self-enrichment. Quran Kareem states, yu'minuna bil ghayb. You must believe in the unseen. This is the truth of the matter. Make this halal, make the Sharia compliant, make the school, make this, and say that this is permissible. Now take this. Now they need money for the school. Right? So now what? The ladies, you know, hear nazam and all this there. So no one can enter, you must pay. And then, you know, since when all this is permissible? I'm asking you. So you must remember, totally haram, it is not permissible. Once a lady leaves her home, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَى وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرًا, and she left and emerged her home, and she is dolled up, she put the perfume and the makeup and all this thing, فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and she passed the man, and thus the security guards will be all men. So all these type of things, so police and whatever. So because, you know, they want to have the woman alone, there must be some security. So they passed the man and all that, فَيَا زَانِيَا, she's like an adulteress. This is not I'm saying, Nabi alayhi salam said so, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. So think what you're doing, totally haram it is.
I see Brother Chris says that according to you people's religion, you guys are allowed to take four wives. And how come you AK is a senior person and Mr. Hatia, you guys not haven't taken any second or third or fourth wives? You start Chris.
Mona Arafat too. You don't know Mona Arafat. He's busy with the third one now. So, me, I'm one man, one vote, my brother Krish. You understand? That I'm already going white now with one wife. What will happen with four Krish? So we'll be finished. You see, Krish, you don't know my vernacular. My vernacular is Mammon. That. So we got some beautiful sayings. Uh-huh. Every language has. So when you take three, four wives, they say, So that person will become totally a hunchback. You see him walking also like that now. Tired, retired, finished now. Who finished him up? First wife, second wife, third wife. I'm still walking straight. Yesterday where I was? I went one place. That guy looked at me, hey, how is it? He said, but you're still looking well, you know. I said, no, my wife, she give me nice, you understand, nice
food
and all. She looks after me well and all. Now imagine if you got four, we'll be finished, Ben Krish. One for summer, one for winter, one for autumn and winter, my brother.
Dr. Sam says, is an accountant to start. Can I work at a bank?
No, remember, bank is haram. The lifeline of a bank is interest. Almighty Allah condemns interest in the strongest form. Go read it, doctor. Surah chapter 2, verses 275 to 279.
I see Anonymous says here, dear Mufti Saab, I really enjoying your program this evening. I want to know what it's like to spend Ramadan in Masjid al-Aqsa, Ustad. So, Anonymous sister.
Allah Jalla wala liberate all our masajid from the enemies. Masjid al-Aqsa is there. See what they have done. So you must remember the jealousy they have. You must remember. You know what they did? The apartheid Zionist regime have offered our Muslims. You must remember Aqsa today is under the Jordanian authority, right? King Abdullah and all of them of Jordan under them. So they are like in charge and all that. So they try and bribe the Palestinians and Jordan, more Palestinians there than Jordanians if you look at the demographics and so forth. Anyway, so you must remember that they try and bribe them. That you know what? This old structure, let us demolish it and we put a new structure. So that is how they get bribery, all these things here. So they can try as what they want to do, but remember Aqsa will always be Muslim, always be Islam. See, Almighty Allah speaks of Masjid al-Aqsa in chapter 17, verse 1. When the miraculous nocturnal journey took place of the Master alayhi salam after his honorable wife, our mother Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, the Master alayhi salam was so sad. Abu Talib, his uncle, he died a non-Muslim, he's in Jahannam. You must remember the hadith in Bukhari teaches us that. So remember that he also passed away. So that year is called Amul Huzan, the year of sadness. So Almighty Allah took rahmatul alameen alayhi salatu salam. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. So from Mecca to Aqsa. So from that time already is Islamic. In the year 637 it got liberated. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came and remember Aqsa. Till today is Muslim, you know. But the settlers, the Jews, they come in by force. You see, there was one person. I tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know his name? Ariel Sharon. Ariel Sharon came with 1,000 army, 1,000, 2,000, whatever he came. And he said, who can stop me from coming into Aqsa? Boots and all, they came in, the butcher of Beirut. That is Ariel Sharon, the war criminal. And then, when the time of death came. Allah ki lati be awaz. So remember the stick of Allah, when it hits, it doesn't make a noise. 8 years he was in Sakarat. You must remember that. 8 years, the greatest, biggest doctors they brought from year, day and everywhere. No one can assist him. So that's what happens there. So go to Aqsa. Every Muslim after Umrah, after Hajj, go to Aqsa. Even 1 day, even 2 days, 2002, I fastened Ihram there and I made dua. I just stood up. I don't know from where the people came. This person kissing me, that one kissing me, that one embracing me, and Ya Shaykh, Udu Lana, La Tansana Fi Dawatik, Dad, make dua for us, don't forget us, and so forth. So we must have the love for the Palestinians, we must have the love for our first Qibla, and you must go as far, must don't mean first, but remember a moral obligation that you go and make them. Our South Africans, mashallah, many of them went there and they made etikaf, but nowadays you know a lot of stories, but you try and go, even now, mashallah, Allah make it easy.
I see Sister Eveline says, AK, good evening, I hope you are well, we're listening to you. And she says that, isn't they say that the highest crime in the world is South Africa? And you guys always are against us about Guantanamo Bay. Don't you people have jails there? Ustad, Sister Eveline.
Every country has jails, but they don't pick up innocent people and torture them and waterboard them and keep them there. You kept them there from 2001 till now, 20 years. Where is the due process? When Obama came into power, he himself said, it's a shame for America to have them. But your Congress did not allow it. So, you know, Trump came, we don't bother of those. Trump is just interested in collecting money. And now Biden also will do nothing, I think. So it's a shame and a disgrace for America. You must remember that. America must speak last regarding crime. You must remember their policy is of state terrorism. How is the state terrorism? Ask them who murdered the million people in Iraq. Who was stealing the oil from Iraq? Who was putting the people in prison? You don't remember what happened there when they let their dogs go on the people in Iraq? And all that, who was doing all this, my sister Eveline? So go study your history. Iran, you know, today they say Iran. I got nothing to do with Iran. Iran in the 50s had a democratically elected president, or prime minister. America, his name, with the M, it starts, Muqaddish or something. Who took him out? Your army, your CIA, and all of them kicked him out. And then they brought this, the Shah and all that. Go study your history. You were the one who murdered million people in Iraq. You are the one who removed democracy in Iran. You are the one, you must remember, who are causing all the harm in the world today. Because people know that you must remember to deal with America, then we have to bend down. Afghanistan say we don't bend down, we don't bow down, we bend and bow down only for Almighty Allah. And what a good threshing they are getting. They're packing up now. End of April, they better move from there. Otherwise, Afghanistan will give them a bigger hiding. So that is Islam, my sister.
I see Sister Evelyn says, you really got a different perspective about we Americans. I wish I could book you a ticket and fly you to the United States of America and see how New York is, Ustad.
I saw New York 2 times. You don't have to teach me nothing of New York. I was there at United Nations. I was there in Washington, White House. I was there, you must remember, in your people's that big towers and all this. We saw everything. I've been twice to America, so nothing for me to see, my sister.
I see Hafiz AK from Trichardt. He says, what's the prize for Merkaz Sahaba's decoder looking for? I need 2, Mufti Sahab. AK Trichardt, Ustad.
MashaAllah. You buy one, we give you one free, Hafiz Sahab. 600 rand for you special. So you must remember. So inshallah, anybody coming, contact my connection, Mohana Ismail Osman there. Somebody coming here, just send 600 rand and we'll give you 2. Buy one free for Ramadan special for you, not for everybody. So mashallah, and you want the box, mashallah. So then the box got 10 units and it pay 5,000 rand. We got enough stocks with Allah's help. Anybody wants Merkaz Sahaba decoders, then contact our Mawlana Salim Karim, respected Maulana, there in Ladysmith, Newcastle, Dundee, Ladysmith, and there Durban, mashallah, Merkaz Sahaba offices and our studio opposite the Glennon Road Masjid, where Hafiz Uwais Sufi few years. Opposite there, you will see Mohali, Dawood Monli, Yusuf Mehter are there. You contact us here, 011-854-2990. So our brother Suleiman Esop is here. So we welcome all of you, whoever wants, mashallah, buy and give your non-Muslim friends, so they can learn what is true Islam. Remember that.
I hope brother Prigasan Pele is listening. If you could please send your contact details, we would like, Mutsa would like to give you, inshallah, a free decoder. Ustad, Sister Lillian says, on behalf of her Muslim friend, she does not want to come and pose a question. She is a bit shy. So I'm posing a question on behalf of my Muslim friend. Sister Lillian says, if a child is born out of wedlock and the father of the baby does not want to marry the mother of the child, what right does he have over the baby? Where can I find Islamic rulings concerning this matter for my friend, Sister Lillian Ustad?
You don't have to go here and there. Straightforward thing. That's why she's feeling shy. Now look at this. You're listening to it yourself on three different radio stations. Muslim lady is guilty of a major crime and she must get 100 lashes for the fornication. Quran says so. Surah chapter 24 verse 2. Write that down, my sister. In Islam, when it's fornication, 100 lashes for the male and female. And if it's adultery, then it's a death penalty. So, chapter 24, verse 2. Okay, now we go to the second issue. She was involved with the boyfriend, whatever. She fell pregnant, she gave birth. Now the chap had a good time, and he ran away. So now the child is haram child, illegitimate child, a B. The lineage goes to the mother. Now, does the father Islamically have any rights over the child? Nothing. He got no rights. You must remember that. He doesn't feature at all. Once you start giving him rights, it means indirectly you are allowing fornication, adultery to take place. So therefore Islam disqualifies him and say you got nothing to do with this child here. So that is Islam. We want a pure, we want a chaste society. We don't want like today more harami children running around, more bees running around, more illegitimate children running around. You go to Brazil, go to France, go to South Africa and see how many bees there are. So how are you going to come right then? So you must remember, Islam teaches you the natural system.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, before we leave you this evening, inshallah, a few words, inshallah, of advice. I see the sisters are asking from Australia, because tomorrow night, inshallah, will be the first of Tarawih, and there's a sister in Freyhead asking to make dua for our little Suhail Duma, 12 years old, was involved in that accident. Ustaz,
may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala grant shifa to all those who are ill, involved in accidents. We make dua, Allah mashfihim shifa and kamila. You, the families, read Surah Fatiha 7 times, low on the person who's ill. Read Ya Salamu abundantly. Read La Ilaha Illa Anta Subhanaka Inni Kuntu Minal Zalimeen abundantly. Give out charity, cash or kind. Yes, whether Ramadan started today, many countries, or tomorrow night, like South Africa, Australia, India, Pakistan, many other countries as well, and yes, South African region and so forth, Southern Africa. So my advice to you is 4-5. Number one, Suhoor time, Sehri time, read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakats the Hajjud, whatever you can. Read abundant istighfar. Raise your hands and you in your house make dua. You, my mother's sisters, daughters, make sure the kajur, the dates is there. Not only iftar time, even suhoor time. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, ni'ma suhoorul mu'mini attam. You, my brother, your tarawih started tonight already, or tomorrow night, and you the imam, so you're already feeling nervous. Read Allahumma inni A'udhu bika minal walahan. Ya Allah, protect me from the shaitan walahan. He brings all the waswasa, the doubts and suspicion. I didn't wash my elbow, I didn't wash my ankles, I didn't wash my heels properly. Then, Ya Allah, protect me from khinzab. He is the shaitan and the Satan who comes and blows our fuses, confuses us. We make mistakes because now we're getting mixed up where we're reading. So all this you will find the first hadith of walahan in Tirmidhi, the hadith of khinzab in Sahih Muslim. Next one, every day in Ramadan, put a smile on somebody's face. Give some charity. One Australian dollar, one New Zealand dollar, one rand, one 50 cent, one rupee. So this is not zakat. And give to the non-Muslim, give the Muslim. Today I went for Asr. And lo and behold, I took out money. So there was a person there. Boy, for the man was walking in front, youngster boy like, and a girl. So he said, hey, Fundi, nigger Mina. So the girl at the back, the lady, she say, Bayastot is very naughty. Mm-hmm. I say, both of you, Maningistota. So both of you, you're both are very naughty. What you're doing business like this? But anyway, we give them money. See? Mm-hmm. So like that. So they say, Siabonga Fundis. So you see. So thank you, Fundis. But they're doing stout business, you know, all stout mean all naughty business. So, but the one is blaming the other. So like that, whatever they do is their business, you just spend. And say, Ya Allah, for your love I will spend, because I have conviction. For every one I spend, minimum you'll give me 10, you'll give me 100, you'll give 1,000 according to intention. So that is our belief. And every day, fasting, last statement, fasting is a duty. And tilawatul Quran, reciting the Quran, is the beauty of Ramadan. So I urge you, I beg you, every one of you, minimum, make intention this Ramadan, 1442, I will complete one Quran Sharif, inshallah.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khair to our Maulana Arafat and to our engineers. Brother Lukolo will prepare the podcast. Four parts, Brother Lukolo.
Four? Yes, four parts.
Right, four parts, inshallah. And we will send it out in the next half an hour, 45 minutes, inshallah. And then remember that after this will be Hafiz Yusuf Kala, my brother, and he will read Naat Sharif or something. And thereafter will be Mufti Mas'ud Tariq with the Urdu lecture, Ramadan Ki Tayyari. So how do we prepare for Ramadan, inshallah? Allah be with you. Allah guide us all. Tomorrow, Mona Arafat and Junaid and Brother Riaz Hussein will be 4 o'clock and from Wednesday 3 o'clock, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I was just going to pose a question. I see mom from Newcastle says that better you're starting tomorrow 3 a.m. to start.
No, tomorrow, Kala, 4. And then say Wednesday, 3. So, but you put your alarm for tomorrow, 3 o'clock also. So you wake up for tahajjud and you make dua for us. Right, Kala? Because you my Kala and I'm your beta.
Subhanallah, 4 minutes after 10, South African time. I see Mufti is firing from all cylinders. Who started our Urdu lecture?
Inshallah, Mufti Mas'ud Tariq, Ramadan ki tayyari. So prepare for Ramadan. So that is the Urdu lecture for tonight after listening to Hafiz Yusuf Kala, inshallah.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to our beloved senior ustad, our beloved two engineers, and all of you listeners of Al Ansar, of Markaz, and of Sirius FM. Up next, Hafiz Kala Sahib, then inshallah the Urdu lecture, preparation for Ramadan, by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Tariq Mas'ud, Tamad Barakatuhum from Pakistan. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place on our program at Safina to Ilal Jannah, what our Ustad and what Hazrat Mulana Salim Karim. Tamad Barakatuhum. Allahumma Hadina, Wahdibina, Wahdina Sajami'a. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.